The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Snuffers in Greenville for the Lions Roar Coaches Show here at the end of the regular football season, the end of the tournament, conference tournament season for volleyball, heading into the postseason. We're going to talk to a basketball coach tonight, which means it's cold outside. First, we're going to talk to our LSC Coach of the Year, LSC Tournament Champion Coach, of the Lion Volleyball team, Craig Case. First off, congratulations on winning Coach of the Year. I know that you really like getting awards and public recognition for the work that you do. Yeah. But that's one that the coaches vote on, and I know that sometimes coaches don't always like each other and get along after you've been battling each other head-to-head all year long. What does that mean to get an award like that from the people that you're working with and against all year?
Well, I think the biggest compliment to that is the way our players have bought in all year to what we've been trying to get them to do. And then after that, I mean, there's a lot of really good volleyball coaches in our league. There's a lot of good volleyball teams, you know. I've said it many times here, you know, when we've been getting ready for some of the teams that didn't make the conference tournament, if they were in any other league in the country, they'd be 500, 600 teams. So to get that recognition from my peers and to have our players play the way they did this year, I mean, it's really flattering and it's an honor.
So plenty of awards to go around at the banquet on yep. Wednesday night. Didn't get Academic Player of the Year, which was kind of interesting to me. But I know the people who vote on that. I'll get on to them later. But, I mean, plenty of awards to go around. First team, second team, honorable mention, all conference. Offensive player of the year or defensive for Shelley?
Neither. Celeste.
Celeste got freshman of the year. That's yep. right. That was another one that she should have gotten.
Yeah.
But anyway, talk about the banquet and how it went and how, I mean, that's a big group picture of girls who got awards there at the end.
Yeah, you know, I was pretty frustrated during, you know, I felt like we should have had at least two first-teamers. I thought Jaslyn could have been Academic Player of the Year, but last year it was the two of them again. And so, you know, Megan Parker didn't go last year, Jaslyn did this, you know, last year, then they just kind of flipped. So, you know, there were some things I was frustrated about, but as you get away from those things and you start thinking about it, you know, we did pretty well. We've got, you know, we play nine regularly, and seven of them got honored by the conference.
That's a pretty good ratio.
Yeah, and so I was really pleased with that, and I was really pleased that Celeste had gotten Freshman of the Year. You know, she's our only six rotation player, and I mean, if you know, she's a major component. I mean, Gabby was a big hole that we had to fill when she graduated last year at setting position, and you know, I don't know if Celeste has filled it necessarily as a setter, but she has done so much for our program. I think that's what's helped us continue to improve as a program. So without her, you know, I really don't know where we would be this year. So I was really grateful and pleased that she got Freshman of the Year.
Then you move into the weekend Thursday afternoon to play a team that arguably the hottest team in the conference going into that tournament in UT Permian Basin, having just beaten Angelo and Tarleton. I don't know if anybody swept that weekend all year except them.
No.
So that's a hot team, and they come out and win the first set, and you come back and win the next three. What was the message to the team after losing that first set to a really hot team that could have really messed up what was to come the rest of the weekend?
Yeah. Well, you know, we just talked a lot about what we've been talking about all year. You know, the biggest thing is just focus on what we need to focus on and try to play our best volleyball. And I thought, you know, I thought there was a good response from our team. I never felt like there was a panic reaction to that. And you know, and all the sets after that were pretty close. So, you know, I think our team knows how to win, and they've practiced that a lot this year, and that those lessons really shone through during that first match. Because, I mean, in hindsight, I can say this. I didn't want to say it before, but I did not like that matchup. Their best position was their middle attacker position, and that's also their best defensive position. Well, our best offensive position is our middle attackers, and so.
So that's strength on strength. You don't have a decided advantage in that area.
And so, that concerned me as a matchup, and so I was very pleased that we were able to get through that match. And then, you know, moving forward after that, it was just, you know, you just get after it, see what happens.
Then on Friday, Kingsville, who had just beaten Angelo State, takes the first two sets from you.
They did, yes.
We've had this happen, it feels like, entirely too many times this year. Go down 2-0 and win 3-2. What is it about having your backs against the wall that makes this team succeed?
Well, you know, I think, again, you know, I don't think we lose focus on the things that we need to lose focus or that we need to be focused on. And I think they're confident, and I think they believe in themselves. And the thing that I enjoy as much as I can enjoy that situation is I enjoy that they, you know, they really fight for each other and they play hard for each other and they come together better in those times than they do any other time. So if there is something to enjoy about that, I actually am a fan of five-set matches. I think it's the funnest volleyball around.
Funnest?
Funnerest?
Most funnerest.
The most funnerest. It is the most fun volleyball around, and I just enjoy it. I think it's a thrill, and I think it brings out the best in our team, certainly. And so when we got to the fifth set, it certainly was to our advantage.
And then comes Saturday. How much you at this point, you obviously know who you're playing. You know you're playing Tarleton on their home floor on what was a big weekend for them. They had two basketball tournaments, a football game, and a volleyball tournament all at home. God bless their SID staff for that. So you know it's going to be a great atmosphere. It always is there anyway, but then with a tournament and a rivalry, they've beaten you twice this year. How comfortable, how confident were you going into that match?
You know, we were kind of like we were in every other match. You know, I felt like we had opportunities at their gym the first time to win that match, and they beat us. And then I felt like we had opportunities to beat them in our gym, and they beat us. And so, you know, I think we stayed focused on the positive there and going, hey, we've had our opportunities to beat this team, and we just got to believe that we can do it. And it was really exciting. It was really exciting because the other side of it, too, is they hadn't given up a set in the entire conference tournament. And so, you know, when we took that first set off of them, it was really kind of set the stage for what was going to be a really, really fun afternoon. And that first set was incredibly competitive. It was a championship level volleyball match, and that's what was the most fun about it, because that's what we've been promising our players. Hey, if we can play well all season, we can put ourselves in a position. You're going to play one of the funnest volleyball matches of your life. And that's what they got in that opportunity. And so it was really a good time. And the environment was awesome. And the volleyball was awesome. And we had a ton of fans there. And they had a lot of fans. And, I mean, this is no over-exaggeration. We were standing, both Coach Carl and I were standing on the sideline yelling at the top of my lungs at 15 feet away. And they couldn't hear us.
That's what you sign up for, though. That's what college athletics is supposed to be about.
Up for it. So we were. That was really a lot of fun, and we played well.
But you played it exceptionally well as the match progressed. If lost the first set,
we did.
Lost the first set, and then came back and won the second by not a hugely comfortable margin. I mean, and that's the other thing I don't think people realize about Division II volleyball, especially the margin between a really good team and a really average to subpar team is not that much. I mean, even a bad team that gets swept is losing by a total of maybe 12 to 8 points on the entire night.
So the
margins are exceptionally slim. So you get a relatively large win in the second and the third. But then that fourth set, and I tell you, your game finished, I believe it was the second quarter of the football game, maybe the third. It was the third quarter. We have confirmation. And so none of us can watch the live stream because we're all having our jobs. And Coach Colby Carthlow, don't take offense to this, but there's a window that I've got my live stats next to, and I believe we were on defense, and the offensive coaches are peeking through the window to look at the volleyball live stats. And when we go on offense, the defensive coaches are kind of looking over their shoulder looking at the volleyball live stats. Tim's in the radio booth, but so everybody in the press box is the clock operator for the football game. Is like tapping at me through the window, like, look at the live stats. I'm like, yes, I know, it's getting close. And so I think it was 23-22, and then from about there, you're trading points, and nobody is able to score more than two in a row for the longest time. We have match point twice. They have set point three times to try and force the fifth. And then I know we're on the radio, and we don't have visual aids. We don't have the video. Try and describe the sequence of events that leads to match point, because it might be the most unorthodox ending to a match, especially because, I mean, I don't know if people realize that you have a limited amount of substitutions.
Yes.
Obviously you have a limited amount of timeouts, but you can only make so many substitutions, and that winds up with a 4'8" girl trying to block people at the net.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. So they end up running out of subs, and they're all over the place, and they were not in a position they were comfortable in being. And again, they blow people out. Mm-hmm. So they don't. We run out of subs all the time. In fact, we've run out of subs at 16. And
that seems less than ideal.
We just got to play whoever's left of the court. And so what happened is they ran out of some subs, and they had some people in positions that they weren't used to. And I'm going to back up for just a second, because we've had three really big wins this year that ended oddly. We beat Concordia St. Paul on a serving error.
Which they don't do.
They don't do. And we celebrated like we won the national championship in August.
Well, you beat the defending national champions. That's usually a pretty good way to celebrate.
And then again, in the semifinals against Kingsville, we won that match on a serving error.
Okay.
And then
seems a little more common than...
No, not really. Not on a match point, all you're doing is telling your server, hey, get it over. Get it in, get it over. And so then this ending is... might be the oddest win in of my coaching career.
Well, it's a big one.
It is a big one. So what ended up happening was they're lined up ready for us to serve, and the down ref, who's an exceptional ref, looks, and it doesn't look right to her. So she turns around and checks the book and gets the information she needs to make sure. So she looks again, and it's still not right. And so she even double-checked and looked at the book and came out and was like, you know, can't do anything. I mean, I was explaining it to somebody, it's like having the wrong batter in softball.
Okay.
If the wrong batter goes up to bat, the ump may know it, but he can't tell, hey, you're not the right hitter.
No, you have to.
The next person's got to get up. It's up to the coach and the players to make sure that the right person's in the right spot. And so she checked two times, because who wants to accidentally make a bad call on the match point of the conference championship?
Yeah.
So she knew. I mean, she knew exactly what was happening and what was going on, and you know, credit to her. I mean, that's great officiating, and she caught that. And you know, I didn't expect to win the match that way, but you know, we'll take it. And
wins are wins,
especially in postseason.
Days that end up in trophies are pretty good days.
And yes.
So three players on the all tournament team, including the MVP and Shelly Chaperone, who
yep.
I believe. Marcus, Shelly hit 400 in
yep.
the tournament, I believe.
Two kills, 10 kills, 2 errors, 20 attempts.
That's pretty good.
Especially against Tarleton State, who is one of the best defensive teams in the nation. They have the lowest, I mean, they only let people hit about 100, 200. I mean, so for her to go 400 against them was extraordinary.
Well, and then one of the other things I want to talk about, the tournament. I mean, we looked at the stats on Friday night especially. Our hitting percentage, our overall kills was probably on par with where we were the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But our hitting percentage was down. Our defensive numbers were so-so compared to the rest of the year, but you still found ways to win.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot about your team.
It does. And a lot of that, you know, that hitting percentage is more about other teams played really well against us.
Yeah.
You know, and so we had to take extra swings to get the results that we wanted. And then, you know, before we move on from the from the all-conference team or the all-tournament team, you know, somebody that stepped up pretty big for us, Jaren Wacker, played her first career match as a six-rotation outside hitter was the conference championship match.
And she wow, just way to stick with what got you there.
And she did great. You know, it was a change that we felt like we needed to get some back-row attacking, and especially against Tarleton, because they do a good job of getting you out of it. And so for her to step up and do what she needed to do and deliver her teammates really says a lot about that player and what she means to our program.
All right, before we get into the NCAA tournament and the automatic bid and the first, let's acknowledge the first conference tournament championship for the volleyball team since 1987, which is pretty impressive. Yes, you clap for that. You definitely clap for that.
I think everybody else knows what happened in 1987. The Minnesota Twins won the World Series. I think everybody knew that, right? Yes, I'm getting a lot of yeses.
There's going to be enough Minnesota talk tonight. We don't need to think about a team that had a trash bag for an outfield wall. So we have two questions that have been sent in.
Oh,
one,
good.
One from what is allegedly the name of a real city in Texas, Hollis from Zipperlandville. It says, and yes, Zipperlandville is a town, just
gotcha.
In case you're wondering.
Yep, yeah.
What's the best type of cheese?
The best type of cheese?
The best type of cheese.
I feel like this is a trick question, and I've been set up for failure.
As are most questions that are sent to you during this
type
radio
of
show.
Cheese is, I will go with nacho cheese.
Nachos.
Nacho cheese.
Have a nacho. And,
Oh, no.
Question two, Biff from Granbury, apparently working for their tourism board. What was your favorite part of staying in Granbury instead of Stephenville during the LSC tournament? I'm going to eat a nacho while you answer this question.
You know, the list is just so long of benefits that we enjoyed staying in Granbury. I don't know if I can narrow it down. You know, one of the, it's actually the second time we've stayed in Granbury this season and playing in Tarleton. What is enjoyable about it is a 45-minute drive. But it's also some time our players get to spend on the bus and hang out and tell stories and all that stuff. So I think it added to our team togetherness time and all that stuff. I can't think of anything clever or witty or entertaining about our extended stay in Granbury this week, except we are this season we are 6-1 when we stay in Granbury.
It's a pretty good winning percentage.
Guess where we're staying this weekend?
I'm going to go with Granbury.
Granbury.
The boss raises his hand as if he doesn't know already.
Granbury, yeah.
Before we get into more, we're going to bounce back and forth between Minnesota questions and volleyball questions for wrestling night. As a Twins fan, and Joe Mauer officially retired today, what are your thoughts on his contributions to your home state?
He's a legend. Fantastic player. We loved having him.
Okay, cool.
I don't know what else to go with that. I do have a side story to him.
Go. That's kind of why.
His aunt is my mother's godmother.
See, that's pretty good.
So I get all sorts of Joe Mauer family Christmas cards and stuff sent to our family.
Well, that's it. That's pretty impressive.
Well, yeah.
Nobody sends me Christmas cards.
Maybe a little bit. I don't know.
That's a dude. That's a dude.
He's a good guy.
Okay. So the selection show. Low drama for – honestly, this is the first low drama selection show we've had since I've been here. This is the first automatic bid we've had at A&M Commerce in spite of all of the postseason success we've had the last few years. It's the first automatic bid we've had since soccer in 15, I believe.
Okay.
So it's kind of low drama. You know you're in.
Yep.
They announce an hour before that Tarleton's the number one seed.
Yep.
So you know you're the number two seed because you're the number two seed already.
Correct.
So what kind of – what's your thoughts in your head going into that? You're just waiting on who you're going to play. Like, where's the team's mindset at that moment?
Well, we had some confidence that we might host. So I was actually I had quite a bit of anxiety that day, or drama, or whatever you want to call it. Thinking, okay, I mean, I had to be prepared for two plans coming into today. So, I think we were a lot closer to hosting than we initially thought we might be.
Well, but when the conference tournament and have five losses on the whole year, yeah.
Yeah, and we've had some tremendous wins this year, but at the end of the day, I think Tarleton beat us 2 out of 3 times,
yep.
and they deserve to host it. But based on the numbers, it was pretty close. So, I was having some drama with that, but, you know, once that settled out, you know, everybody's so good that it doesn't really matter who you play outside of – you know, we get to figure out who, when, and where, and that's what we found out on Sunday, and after that, it's just time to get ready to play more volleyball, and hopefully we keep rocking the way we have been.
One of the things I noticed in the bracket is that outside of the Tarleton-Fort Smith match, which Fort Smith wins the Heartland to sneak in, they weren't even regionally ranked, but that's how auto bids work. That's kind of the design of it. Outside of that, everything else is a conference rematch. It's two RMAC rematches, and the Lions taking on Angeles State on Thursday at 2:30. It's a team you know very, very well.
Yep.
Coach, you know very well. Personnel, you know very well.
Yep.
Do you see that as a positive or a negative in this tournament in that you know you're going to run it? If you win, when we win, you know you're running into an RMAC team. There's a lot of familiarity in this tournament in the first round that we're not used to.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that it matters. I don't think you can concern yourself with that stuff. You just got to go, hey, this is who we got to play, and it doesn't matter if we played them once, twice, 10 times. Dixie and Mesa got to play each other for the fourth time,
because they just played.
They just played the conference championship. So, you know, I think the focus has just got to be let's figure out what we need to do. Doesn't matter if it's Angelo. If we were playing Angelo or we're playing Dixie or we're playing Fort Smith in that first one, don't care. We got to figure out how to win a volleyball match, regardless of who we're playing. And then continue to move on and move on and move on. So I don't know that it helps or hurts us because they know a lot about us too. And You know, the only thing I will give some insight on to our matches this year, when we played there, they played really well after the first set. When they played here, they didn't play very good at all. And so we're certainly expecting the better of the two teams, because they're a really good volleyball team. They got four first team all conference players on their team. And, you know,
we noticed that.
Yeah, and you can't be a bad volleyball team if that's the level of talent you have. So we know, you know, we know what to expect of them. They know what to expect of us, and hopefully we can get out and try to do whatever we need to do to win that match.
Once again, for everybody who's here, if you don't know, that match is at 2:30 on Thursday. Come see Taylor Phelps to ask him about the bus trip to Stephenville for the first round match. So Thursday at 2:30, if you win that, when we win that one, it's 5:00 Friday and then 4:00 on Saturday. Yep. With a whoever wins this 3 days of volleyball goes to Pittsburgh for the national championship Elite Eight. I mean, this is what you signed up to play for, and this
is exactly what you signed up for.
I mean, and I believe it was Jaren Wacker who said it when she started 4 years ago with this team. We were lucky to make the conference tournament. We were getting rolled out of there in 25 minutes. It felt like probably.
And now, you know, it felt a lot longer than that.
I'm sure. And now you're in a position to, you're one of the favorites for this tournament, and confidently so. I mean, it's got to feel good for somebody who's, we joked about this in many different ways, the longest tenured coach in program history, but you've got to see this is definitely the fruits of your labor paying off.
Yeah, you know, we got a great coaching staff, and we got good people and good players, and it's just fun. I mean, it's fun to have all those things come together. And you know, backing up a little bit, what was interesting about the conference tournament or the regional tournament last year, we weren't sure that we were going to get in.
Yeah.
So we were really nervous going up to that final hour then, and now this year we weren't sure if we were going to host or not. And so it was funny how no matter what, there's always going to be some stress. If you're barely making it in, there's stress if you're going to get in there. Or if you're potentially a number one seed, you're kind of stressed out about that too. So it was really interesting that in just 1 year we went from – I hope we get in. To go on
2 years ago.
Two years ago, we
didn't even tell anybody with the selection show because we wound up as the ninth team.
We missed it by one game, one match.
Yeah, and it was just a completely different feeling than yesterday. Like, it was a known celebration.
Yeah.
But there's still some stress to it.
And I'm still going, we might host. And so it's interesting how in just a short amount of time, if you get really good people together who are willing to work really hard and work for each other, it's amazing how quickly things turn around.
Well, we're all very proud of the turnaround. We're proud to see everything happen. We hope to have a full crowd there for you at 2:30 on Thursday. And then we'll talk to you again. Not sure when the next coach's show is. We've got to reschedule stuff to get around basketball season. But I know we'll talk to you again, mainly because
this up a couple times. We got a basketball team?
We do. We have two basketball teams. There's
two
one.
Of them? I knew we had a women's team. I didn't know we had a men's team.
Well, we'll talk to him here in a little bit.
Oh, Jared's the men's basketball coach?
Yes.
Oh.
That guy.
I got it.
That guy.
I got it.
We'll talk to him right after we talk to our head football coach, Colby Carthel, in a second. Craig, thanks for being on the show all season. Everybody, give Craig Case and the volleyball team a round of applause. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll talk a little bit of live football.
The program you're enjoying right now was made possible by a group of folks just like you who make contributions to public radio. Support programs just like this one. Visit KETR.org and click donate.
All right, we are back on the Lions Roar Coaches Show live here from Snuffers in Greenville as we move into football talk. Lions finished the season regular season 9-2. Beat Angelo State 41-13 on Senior Day. It was about as perfect as you could get. Great job honoring the seniors. Their families are all there. The offense strikes early, have a little bit of a hiccup there in the second quarter, but then defense turns it on, and offense was about as efficient as we've had it all year.
No, it was a great night for Lion football, no doubt. We came out firing, you know, and we challenged them all week. It's a playoff game for us because it's a really good football team. You know, we broke that last half of the season up to four quarters as the fourth quarter to finish the season. But really and truly, when Angelo comes in at 6-4 with a new head coach, fired up, ready to wreck our season, we knew we had to be ready. And we challenged them all week, had a great week of practice, and went out there and played as well as we have all season. And so really happy to see that. Hopefully we're peaking at the right time and playing our best football here in November, and I hope that leads to some more postseason victories, or at least one anyway. So that's all we can worry about right now.
One of the players I want to make sure we bring up, he's had a heck of a end of his season. We've called him a 74th-year senior or whatever. Ovia Revbu gets LSC Offensive Player of the Week, 184 yards, two touchdowns. He's had a lot of yards the last couple weeks. Hasn't always turned into touchdowns, but that guy, he's put in the work for years and years and years, and it is definitely paying off for him here at the end of his career.
Ovi's having a great end to his career, and that's one thing. A lot of people talk about, oh, we're hurt, we got injuries, and we're not, you know, oh, if we just hadn't got these guys hurt. You don't understand how many injuries we have. We have some guys that are out there. Ovi Revbu was our third-string running back about 6 weeks ago.
Yep.
And now he's toting the load, and he's Lone Star Conference Player of the Week.
30 carries this week. That's not a guy, a third-string workload.
Same things up front. You know, our center, Ryan Peschke, came in and did a great job as a backup and filling in for people that are hurt. It's been that way across the board, O-line, defense. It's a you know, who's healthy this week on defense, just get out there and play. And that's a sign of a really good football team. Teams that don't make excuses, teams that don't cry about being hurt, they get out there and get the job done. No matter if you were first, third, or whatever string you are, it's all about the 11 guys on the field. Everybody's first string when the ball snapped.
It reminds me a little bit of the playoffs last year. If I remember right, it was 17 guys who were on the roster at the beginning of the playoffs who weren't on the roster at the national championship game. Kind of next man up, next man up. That says a lot about the program that you've built over the last 6 years.
Well, we've really stressed recruiting Texas high school football players and growing them up through the program, and we've got a great support staff, with our academic, with our student medical, with our strength training. And it's just a really good program to be a part of, whether you're playing a bunch on Saturday or you're just a redshirt freshman. And those guys stick with the program, and you have a bunch of guys stick around for a few years, then you build up that depth. And so when you do have some injuries or life happens or whatever, and somebody's unable to go. And we got one I just came from the hospital, he's got some issues with his appendicitis, and next man up. Yep. I mean, we'll miss him, but we got another guy. I hope I didn't break a HIPAA rule by saying that.
I didn't say his name. Yep.
Bob Smithson.
Smith Bobson?
Yeah.
Yep. Bob Smitherson.
We don't have a Bob Smithson. So anyway, but next man up, and that's the way this sport is. That's what makes a great football the greatest sport on the planet. And so we're excited, and like I say, had some guys play really well there against Angelo State, started out fast, gave up, a pick and a big ball thrown over our head. Then we threw a pick six, and all of a sudden it's 14-13. We went out there and blocked the extra point. We didn't look back after that and put the hammer down and really, stretch it. At halftime, I think it was 350-something yards to – they had three first downs. And second half, we played some four-minute offense, got out of the game, and celebrated a big win on senior night and going to the playoffs for the fourth straight year.
What's it like when Dominique Ramsey gets his hands on the ball as a coach? It's got to be an exciting thing. With that 99-yard pick six, obviously, as you were saying at LCF luncheon today, it's fourth down. You really just want to bat down the ball. But yep. He's got over 220 return yards on three interceptions this year. Leads the nation in interception return yardage, even though he's not on the chart for interceptions. I mean, that's just explosiveness every time he gets his hands on the ball.
No, he's fantastic. And it's really our whole defense. Shoot, anytime we pick the ball off, everybody just runs about 50 yards this way because that's where we're going to end up with it. I mean, 47 yards a return is what our team is averaging.
That's insane.
And I was teasing Coach Powers, like, shoot, you're going to be speaking at clinics. How do you do this? We spend about 20 minutes a day working on returns. But they do a good job, and that's a smart football team, smart defense, to block above the waist, to not having stupid penalties to bring those back. Because we got some dynamic athletes back there that are, getting their hands on balls, and when they do that, they're able to flip that field, and not only you get some momentum with interception, but that big-time return, really excites the crowd and gets the offense going.
The other big-time athlete that we have to talk about, probably the smallest actual athlete on the field, little baby Christoph Martinez. It's a career-long 52-yard field goal there in the second quarter. Ties for second all-time in Division II history in field goals. One more, he's got second on his own, and after that, there's a 19 field goal gap. And no offense, I hope we don't have to kick 19 field goals even if we play the next 5 weeks. That's way too many not touchdowns. But
right.
He's only 14 points away from the LSC scoring record. Had a huge hit on special teams that I didn't even notice until you showed it at LCF luncheon today. As a great way to send that kid off for his last regular season home game.
No doubt. He's really, really special, Christoph Martinez, and he was playing with a heavy heart. His granddad had passed away shortly before that game, and he actually walked out there with a picture of his granddad at senior day, and I think was playing really inspired, career-long field goal, 52 yards, and was just perfect on all his other kicks, but play of the game. Offense, defense, special teams was that, you know, we've been very good in returns. Well, they broke one for about 30 yards, and old number seven, I don't know who he is, but he tried to come up and lay the wood to Christoph, and Christoph put him out of the game. Knocked him smooth out right there on their sideline. The trainers had to come drag him off. He just got smoked by a 135-pound kicker. And that made
it was illegal, and it wasn't targeting. Oh, I've watched it twice.
It was a great play. It was the best hit I've ever seen. And my all-time favorite Christoph moment's going to be when he smoked old number seven. And that poor guy, I don't know if he'll play again.
Moving on to the playoffs, Lions go to the selection show yesterday. Comes up. Sixth seed have to play at the number three seed, Minnesota Duluth. It is expected to be chilly, but the Lions get their fourth straight NCAA playoff appearance. That's the third longest active streak in the nation behind Northwest Missouri, who's got 15 now. Ferris State's got 5, and we've got 4. That's not from where you took this program over at. There's not much more than you can ask.
No, it's pretty good company we're keeping and doing some good things. You can't – everybody talks about winning national championships and all that stuff, but you can't win national championships unless you're in the playoffs. And so we're excited to be there for the fourth year in a row and have the third longest playoff streak in the country, because it's tough to get in. You know, we had a counterpart, Midwestern State. You know, they had a great team and I think deserved to be in but didn't make it. And it's just tough. You know, our region's really, really tough. And wish we could have got 3 LSC teams in, but we didn't. But we're in, so we got to handle our business. And it will be – you mentioned the cold. It's going to be cold. I mean, it'll be 19, 18 degrees. The wind's going to be howling. But it's not just cold on our sideline. Cold is cold. I don't care if you're from Minnesota like Coach Case is or if you're from the great state of Texas like I am, you know. But cold is cold. And 18 degrees feels cold to him as it does to me. And we've won in the cold and we've lost in the cold. You just got to go up – and play football, and both teams have to play in it. So, you know, I think our playoff experience will, you know, bode well for us. And the fact that we were up there twice last year in Minnesota, late in the season, November, December, and came away with wins, you know, gives our guys a little confidence. But bottom line, when that ball's teed up 1 o'clock on Saturday, it's going to be who makes the plays and who deserves to move on in that second round. And we got to work hard and hopefully give ourselves a chance to win.
Question we don't normally ask the last few weeks, because with LSC teams, we've seen them so much, and with some of the other teams, not quite the caliber of UMD, a storied program. They've won 2 national championships. They're in the playoffs about every other year at the least. What do we know about them? What are they run heavy? Are they pro style? You've had less than 24 hours to get film on them, so we don't really know. But what have you seen so far?
They look really, really good. Watching these highlights on a couple of them NFL teams up north, they look real similar, other than the jerseys. So they're big, they're strong, they're fast. They got a senior laden team. I've been, you know, researching them. We've been breaking them down as a staff for about 4 or 5 weeks, knowing they were a possible playoff opponent. And you know, they've got 23 seniors. They've expected to be here all season long with the senior leadership that they have. Coach Weese does a great job. He's a tremendous head coach. Got a great record. Had a lot of success, regular season and in the playoffs. So it's not going to be a pushover. You know, you kind of hope sometimes you get a team that's never been in the playoffs and they don't know what they're doing, and that'll gain you 14, 21 points there just right out the gate. But it's the exact opposite here. So special teams, they're really good. I think we're first in kickoff coverage, and they're second or third in the country. So they're good, all of them, and do a lot of stuff with their field goal unit. And you better be paying attention on Saturday, because they're well coached and in a very physical ball club. But so are we, and so I think that's what's going to be fun for those folks that do make it to Minnesota, and all the folks there up in Minnesota that come out to the game. I hope they have a great crowd. I hope they have a bunch out there, and so we can see what playing Duluth, Minnesota is all about, and hopefully we play well, and like I say, find a way to pull one out there in the end.
Another one we don't normally ask, but when it popped up on the bottom line of the Super Region 3 bracket, in our watch party, the oohs and ahs kind of went up as a Division II history buff. What do you think about that Northwest Missouri at Grand Valley in the first round? That's a heck of a first round matchup.
Those are two titans. If we weren't playing Duluth, I may drive up there to watch that one, because it's going to be in Grand Valley. That place will be rocking. I've played at both places or coached at both places, and had some fantastic college football right there. And Northwest is back in the playoffs again for the 15th straight year. Grand Valley felt like they got hosed last year, and they've been playing, you know, like a team on a mission. But it'll be a really good football game up there in that region, and probably a lot of the eyes around the country will be on that game just because of so many national championships, and over the past 20 years, those two programs have set the bar.
We've been on a few flights. We've been on a few long road trips over the last 4 years, 3 years for me. I've got to be involved with a lot of them, and thanks to everybody involved for that, especially our Lion Champions fond donors and the way we get to travel to these games. Outside of the football itself, and what's your favorite part as a coach, getting to see the experience for these student-athletes in the playoffs?
Well, it's fun. You know, we start the year sometimes with kids that hadn't even been on a plane before, you know. So when we go out to Western New Mexico, that's fun just to see four, five, or six kids. It's their first time to fly. And so you take that and, you know, take it up another notch or two, and now we're taking them all over the country and up to, you know, southern Canada, I think, is where we're headed this week. So Lake Superior, that's always been a bucket list of mine, to see Lake Superior, and it's, you know, about 45 yards out the north end zone there. So I always wanted to see it in the winter, too. So I'm really excited. I'm fired up about this thing. It's all about your attitude and what you bring to it. So, but it's neat. And these kids, you know, I don't know. They've got some Christmas parade thing that's going on. Duluth is almost shut down. We were very lucky to just get a hotel. And so I don't know when that thing starts, but maybe we'll get to see part of that, too, and experience some real Duluthisms while we're up there.
I forgot to ask Craig if he had any Duluth hotspots that we needed to check out or anything, but I'm sure we will do our fair share of exploration. They don't have a college hockey game in town this weekend.
No, they're hockey. There's casinos all over the place, but I don't play cards during the season. It's a distraction. So,
did you hear that? There's casinos.
Yes, but casinos. I don't play cards during the season, so I can't go, but there's a lot to do up there. You can go chop down a tree, or you can go visit one of the 10,000 lakes. Or you can eat some of those fish that they fry up. What's that called?
Lutefisk,
you know. So.
I thought that was bad. Is it good? Okay.
Paul Bunyan may be marching around out there somewhere. So
yeah, I'll go find a big blue ox and bring it home. Well, Coach Carthel, first off, thanks for joining us on the show every week. It's been a great time up here at Snuffers. I know the crowds here have loved it. Everybody watching at home online. Hopefully, I fully anticipate being back here next Monday night as we keep this thing rolling, and we get, no matter what, we get Thanksgiving in Texas. That's always that's a positive that we haven't had the last few years. So I'm a big fan of that as well.
Sounds good to me. We just got to take care of business, so we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the football portion. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk indoor sports without nets in the middle of the court.
My neighbor.
That's your neighbor. We're going to talk to head coach Garrett Von Rosenberg's men's basketball team just a second.
He's my favorite neighbor that coaches basketball.
High bar.
This show and others like it from KETR.org are made possible by generous contributions from listeners just like you. Donate today at KETR.org.
All right, we're back here for the final segment of the night here on the Lions Roar Coaches Show from Snuffers in Greenville. We are now joined by our head men's basketball coach for the first time this season, Jarrett Von Rosenberg, coming in after a busy week last week, a super busy week this week. So we're going to try and hit it hot and heavy from the get-go. Went down to Edinburgh to the UTRGV on Tuesday night for a game that was their regular season opener, but an exhibition game for us. So a little bit no-lose situation, but a great performance there by the team. Talk to us a little bit about that trip, because I know that's not a normal trip as well.
Well, yeah, it was a great opportunity. A couple of our players are from South Texas. I actually grew up there, so that was a neat component of it. But I think it really gave us the best chance we had to win this weekend in Division II games. It really mattered in region contest. We go down in the first half, and I don't want to say we lay an egg, but everyone's a little frantic. No one's getting to their spots. Everyone's playing a little fast and really excited to get the first real live action, you know, with the lights bright and getting to play a Division I opponent. We actually, last year in our first contest against Oklahoma Christian, we went through some of the same stuff we went through at UTRGV. So we got that out of the way, and I think played a lot smoother two games than we would have if we didn't get that opportunity. So it worked out really well. Obviously, where you're sitting right now, hindsight's always 20/20. But, you know, it worked out so far, and we're just getting ready for a, you know, heck of a week. Going to really challenge our guys mentally and physically. You know, playing Wednesday at North Texas and then two games up in Gunnison, Colorado, Friday and Saturday. So it's here, and it's here fast.
So you're jumping a little bit of my questions. We haven't even talked about the other two games yet. You're talking about the schedule ahead. So we go over to Cameron. It's the fourth year we've been playing this starting tournament with playing against Oklahoma Christian and Newman. Oklahoma Christian a little bit tight early, and we pull away late. Good game overall. How do you feel about that game as a season opener?
Well, we've got a long ways to go to where we're, you know, clean and efficient on both sides of the ball. You know, right now when you have a breakdown, when one breakdown turns into two breakdowns, turns into three breakdowns, you have a hard time scoring or getting stops. Right now we're trying to limit making multiple mistakes. You know, when somebody gets driven by, we need to have help. We can't miss the help also. And, you know, you just got to clean up and try not to – we talk about it all the time. Don't compound mistakes, because mistakes are going to happen in the game of basketball. You know, it doesn't stop every possession. You can play for 5-6 minutes without a stoppage. So you got to be ready to, you know, kind of go with the flow a little bit and be able to make decisions on the fly. And that's what we try to let our guys do, is learn how to play basketball, how we want to play it in general, and kind of let them go. And as soon as we, you know, as we continue to get better with the new guys, gelling with the returners, you know, I think that'll continue to increase and get better over time. But, you know, to go wire to wire opening night, beat a good Oklahoma Christian team, maybe even a little bit better than, you know, maybe we thought, but talented, well coached. I thought they did a really good job. We went on a spurt where we hit some shots and we were able to get a couple stops to kind of keep it at 12, 14 points in that second half, which we're able to just make enough plays down the stretch to hold on to that lead.
You have six guys scoring double figures on the way to 89 points. Trey Conrad with 18. Reggie Reed with 16. He leads in rebounds. Serge Budimir and a newcomer, Tyree Robinson, each with 12. Deontay Terrell, 15 off the bench. Deontay scored in double figures off the bench both nights. How does that bench production help you project this season?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how we want to play, and that's what we want. We want the box score to look. We have multiple guys in double figures every night. And, you know, the way we play offensively, the way we're trying to play is that the ball, you know, has eyes and he sees the open man. That open man, when it's his turn, he takes the shot. And you're going to see a lot of guys take shots. If you play in the game, you're probably going to get a shot opportunity. If you're you know, running offense, we don't run a bunch of set plays for one person or two people to take shots. But then obviously you have the ball has eyes, but it's going to find Reggie and Willie and Trey Conrad, guys that return that are more comfortable with what we're doing, probably more so than not. But I expect production all over the floor all year, and that's how we're going to be good. If the production is not that way, then we're going to have a tough time.
Willie Rook scores 21 in a 76-56 win over Newman. It was a five-point game at halftime on Saturday, outscored by 15, just pulled away, shot, I believe it was 56.6% in the second half, and just pull away. That's another good win against a pretty good team.
Yeah, you know, we got really good shots both days, really good shots, and we never want to be a team that relies on making shots to win or not, because you know that's how you lose games, how you lose in the postseason. You know, you need offense. Obviously, you got to score one more point than your opponent, but we got to be focused on the shots we're getting, not necessarily if they're going in or not. You know, and that's how we try to build our guys' confidence. Like, if you're shooting the right shot, stop worrying about the results. Don't be results-oriented. That's how we're going to run our offense, to get the shot that we want as a group, that everyone on the bench and everyone in the game knows that you're supposed to shoot that shot, and then live with the results and run back on the other end and play some defense. And that's kind of how we try to play rinse, recycle, repeat kind of every time we step on the floor. And we're not close to being there, but hopefully, you know, we're going to play a bunch of games here in a row, and you know, adversity, and we're going to see it, and we got to just keep buying in every day of practice and trying to do those things.
At UNT on Wednesday night, then you get on a plane, and go to the highest gym in America at Colorado Mesa.
In the world.
It's got to be – that's crazy. They're playing Colorado Mesa on Friday night and then Western State on Saturday night up in Gunnison, Colorado. This has got to be a little bit of a setup for postseason play, having a run like this against high-quality competition on the road, at home, back and forth, back and forth. Is that entering your mind, or is it just the way the games felt?
I was going to say, do you want me to agree or tell you how it happened?
No, let's go either one. I'm cool with either one.
I did want to, you know, talking to our athletic director, I did want to go to Colorado for a weekend in case we had to play a postseason tournament. So we set up Thanksgiving weekend, which is the following weekend that we haven't even gotten to in the schedule.
I was going to say, that's only two games in 1 week, not
so
four in 1 week.
We're going to Metro and Regis and not playing neutral site games, playing true road games against those two opponents, very good opponents. But filling our schedule, you know, we came across this team that was going to be, you know, two teams that we expect to finish, you know, very high in the RMAC, another good competition for our guys. And with a lot of returners, we felt that we would be at least in position to be good enough to go win a game like that. So it's kind of the way the schedule worked out with us, you know, not being able to get the types of opponents we wanted at home. And this was just a great opportunity to get one neutral site game and then a game against the home team in Western State.
And then on Wednesday night, playing UNT, a team that just came off some big wins. It doesn't count against us. It does count for them, win or lose. So if you upset them, that can really hurt a team like that. What kind of experience is that for a team now? They've seen some of the bright lights. The Super Pit's bigger than anywhere else we'll play all year. I mean, it's in the name. It's Super Pit. But that's got to be a neat experience for some of these guys as well. When there's nothing to lose except to go out there and play your best ball.
Exactly. And, you know, it'd be another opportunity. We'll get to play everybody. Hopefully get guys minutes that maybe didn't play as much this weekend, get a little bit more minutes, get a little bit more comfortable, throw out some different lineups that we haven't played to this point. And, you know, you're recruiting the Dallas-Fort Worth area really hard. It's our home base of where we're trying to get our talent out of. It's good to go, you know, punch a Division I, quote-unquote, if you will, in the mouth and, you know, have some success against them. You know, whether you win the game or not, you're going to have some success basketball-wise. And it's good for everyone to see that how good the Lone Star is and how good our teams can be and the players are. And it gives our guys an opportunity to do the same and kind of, you know, show what they're made of.
Overall, your weekend of season number two as a head coach, the training wheels are definitely off. They were pretty quick into the season last year. You go into the postseason. How do you feel about where's your comfort level on the team, on coaching, and all that a little bit into your second season?
Myself, talking to our coaching staff, the returners, I think the biggest thing for us right now is we can't expect, like, we have to worry about tomorrow. We can't think about the postseason. We can't think about conference play yet. We got to worry, focus on tomorrow, take care of business tomorrow as a group, trying to get a little bit better. You know, obviously, every time we put on a Lion uniform, we're trying to score one more point than the other opponent, and that's what we're going to try to do tomorrow. And as a staff, as myself, we got to sit back, coach the team we have, and try to make the best of every opportunity we have to get on the floor and then see where that leads us, you know, as we keep going throughout this year.
All right, well, we'll be talking to you plenty throughout the year. You'll be on the Lion Sports Network on KTR on Wednesday, and they will be back up in Duluth on Saturday. So we're missing out on the Friday-Saturday matchups. So Charlie gets to go.
What's happening in Duluth?
I heard there is a football contest of a large magnitude.
Volleyball? I thought volleyball's going to Minnesota now?
I don't. Well, and then cross-country is going to be in Denver this weekend, too, for the regionals.
Have to run outside, though. We get to play inside.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, I think, 37 degrees and snowing in the middle of the day to run a 10K. That sounds awesome. I didn't bring Coach Scribner on to talk about that because he would have made it sound actually good, enjoyable, like something somebody wants to do. And I've let him do that twice this year, so that's plenty. Plenty of Lion action this weekend. Make sure you check out lionathletics.com. Thanks again to our friends at Snuffers for having us throughout the football season. We are not done here. We just don't know what night yet. We got to get on everybody's practice schedule and make sure that we get everything going. I mean, practicing so that you can actually win the game is pretty important. So to everybody here at Snuffers, thank you. To everybody who's been watching online, all volleyball and football season, thank you very much. And then let's go have a great weekend.
Absolutely.
Lions.
Go Lions. I'm going to sign off for Lions Roar for God's sake. Thanks, guys.